This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله The Book of Purification, Chapter 1, Water. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said regarding the sea, its water is purifying and its dead animals are lawful to eat. Al-Arba'a and Ibn Abi Shayba reported it. Version is of the latter. Ibn Khuzama and Tirmidhi graded it sahih. Malik, Ash-Shafi, and Ahmad reported it. Narrated the second hadith. Narrated Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, water is pure and nothing can make it impure. Reported by Al-Thalatha and Ahmad graded it sahih. Narrated Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, water cannot be rendered impure by anything except something which changes its smell, taste, and color. Ibn Majah reported it, and Abu Hatim described it as da'if, weak. And al-Bayhaqi reported, water is pure unless any impure thing is added which changes its smell, taste, and color.
Say that again. What's
Al-Bayhaqi say? Al-Bayhaqi reported, water is pure unless any impure thing is added which changes its smell, taste, and color.
No, that's not what he said.
Okay, so the translation is
incorrect. The translation is wrong.
Incorrect.
Yeah, Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah's narration says, الماء طهور إلا إن تغير ريحه أو طعمه أو لونه.
Okay.
So instead of and, any you say or.
Yeah, so water, the correct translation is water is pure unless any impure thing is added which changes its smell or taste or color.
Yeah, because the first narration says it's taste, it is smell and color. The second narration, or. And there is a big difference between and or, that's right? Mm-hmm.
The fourth hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there is enough water to fill two pots, it carries no impurity. Another version has it, another version states, it does not become unclean. Al-Arba'a reported it, Ibn Khuzayma, Ibn Hibban, and Al-Hakim graded it sahih.
Jazakallah khair. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah wa ba'd. Here, Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned these four hadith, and the first one we made a commentary on it last time. Just very quickly, when the Prophet ﷺ answered those who were traveling in ships, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, when we travel, we have limited amount of water. If we use it for wudu, you know, we'll run out of fresh water. So can we use the water of the sea? And the Prophet ﷺ told them, yes, it is. Water is purifying, and its dead animal are lawful. And we said that as-sahaba radiyallahu anhum ardahum didn't have a problem with understanding that the water of the sea is pure. But the issue was that water good to purify you? When we say purify, حينما نقول أن الشيء يطهر, what do we mean by that? إيش معنى التطهير? Can anyone tell me? When you say purify something, what that means? In that sense, in the water, when you say the water purifies, you come from something not unlawful to something lawful. That's very general. Can we be very specific? Yes. So removing two things, what are they? Purifying is removing. That's right. What we remove. Very good. So Muhammad was saying the first one, which is absolutely correct. You know, al-hadath al-akbar and al-hadath al-asghar. الحدث الأكبر. I want you to understand this word in Arabic. Sorry, يعني you have to add it to your vocabularies. الحدث, it means a state that you are in which it does not allow you to pray. You're not allowed to pray. What are the state that you are in and you're not allowed to pray? The salawat. If you break your wudu, that's right. Or you have janaba, like with dream or intercourse, or for a woman, if she has her menses, or she just deliver a baby, that's right, and she has postnatal bleeding, nifas, that's right. So these are four, three. So the first one, when you don't have, when you break your wudu, and you know the things that break wudu, obvious. So when you break your wudu, or this is called minor hadath, al-asghar, minor hadath. And al-akbar, the major, when it is out of sexuality, or it is based on bleeding, the woman menses, or woman nifas, which is the postnatal bleeding after delivering a baby. Is that clear? So when we say al-hadath, it means that state that you are in, which is you're not allowed to pray, not allowed to perform salah. Is that clear? So purifying, it means it take you out from that state, regardless it is no wudu, or regardless of hayd, or regardless of janaba, basically it will bring you back to the state which is lawful. It means it's lawful for you now to pray. It's allowed for you to pray. For menses, as we know, this is after the blood stop. After the blood stop, you take a ghusl, you basically use the water to purify your body by taking a shower, so you're allowed to pray. That's right? If a woman's menses stop, she cannot just pray. She has to take a shower first. Is that clear? Okay. That's it? That's what purifying means? Or there is more than that? What else that we purify? This state that we talked about, is it something, it is something intangible, that state, which is al-hadath, it's intangible thing. It's a description of you. But there is something tangible. If you have it, it will not allow you to pray. Which is called najasa, impurity. Let somebody, you are cleaning your baby's diaper, and you have the baby's poop, okay? And this baby is 2 years old, 1 year old, he's eating. And you have the poop in your hand. Can you pray? No. Somebody urinated, for example, and have a urine in his clothes. Is that allowed for you to pray? No, because that's basically, that urine is impurity. That's right? So, an-najasa. You see this impurity in this carpet. How would you remove it? One of the ways to remove it is through what? Water. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, a purifying, he means he purify your body from any physical impurity and also can put you in that state which has allowed you to pray and allowed you, basically you can make wudu with it. Is that clear? Wadah? طيب. So, and I said to you that this understanding, what led the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, to tell you that water is divided into three categories. Impure water, which is you're not allowed to use for purification, and pure water, but not purifying water. So it's a water that is pure in itself, but it's not enough, or it's not, you cannot use it to purify self with it. And the third category, which is a water that it is pure in itself, and it has the power to purify you. Like the water of the sea, the water of the rivers, the water of the springs, the waters of the rain, all these waters, the natural water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, these are the water that have the power to purify you. And I told you Some ulama rahimahumullah, like al-Ahnaf and Malikis, they said, no, actually, we only have two categories. Pure water, which is tahir, that it has the power to purify you, and najis. We don't have three categories. Where is the third category comes from? Where is the fight over? The fight over water that is still water, but one of its qualities, one of its descriptions, it changed with something pure. I give you an example. Here where these two group scholars debate. Because when the water completely changed to new entity, the Maliki will tell you, the Hanafi will tell you, Ibn Taymiyyah among the Hanafi will tell you, that's not anymore water. This is, let's say, coffee. It's made of water, but it's not anymore water. It is considered what? Coffee. Even though my doctor could still consider it, and my dietitians still consider it what? Water, because it's a liquid. You know, when you calculate your water of the day, you calculate that. Is that right? I guess. Okay. So you calculate that as part of your basically water that you consume. So here you see, what I'm saying is, the Hanafi and the Maliki will tell you, khalas, this is not water, that's coffee, that's juice. I let it go. I agree with them. But the problem comes with what? With water that has a little bit of touch of gasoline, benzene. If you put a little bit of gasoline, or the gasoline smell attached to the water. Now the water doesn't have a smell. Now the smell like gasoline. But it's water. Can you make wudu with it? Do you see where is the question comes? Let's say Muhammad Sa'ad's in his IHOP. Okay? And he goes to make wudu from a pot of water. Then he found that his worker, or the work he works there, and while he's doing the pancake, some of the flour fall into the water. The water has a little bit of flour. Or a woman in the kitchen doing, you know, her basically pot, and there is a little bit of flour. So it changes a little bit the color of it. Are you allowed to use this water to make wudu or not? You see, that's the question comes here. Let's say a pot of water, you put a little bit of salt, you put a little bit of sugar on it, just a little bit, a spoon of sugar in a water. This has a little bit of sugar in it. Would that consider water? It's tahir, it's pure. But does it have the power to purify you from the having no wudu? You will see the Shafi'is and you'll see the Hanbalis will tell you no. That's pure water, but not tahur. Does not have the power to remove your state of hadath, which is that state of preventing you from salah. But you'll find the Malikis, you'll find the Hanafis, you'll find the Ibn Taymiyyah, and a large number of scholars said, no, you're allowed because that's still water. That's still, even if that smell, but didn't really change it completely. That's a very temporary, they're very small, very minor, very minute. Here, whereas basically the khilaf comes and the debate comes between the scholars. I just thought maybe this needs explanation from last week more, and I hope this will clarify. I do believe that the classification of the water to three categories make for me it's a strong argument, I feel more comfortable towards that direction because the hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said at-tahuru ma'uhu, that means in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described the water with something more than just its being tahir, it's being pure. It has the power to purify. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about the land, قَالْ وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, this land be made for me and my ummah tahur. For the nations before us, this land was only tahir, pure. But for us, it's pure and has the power to purify. That's why you make it instead of wudu, instead of ghusl. That's right, when you do tayammum. The second hadith, which is hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu an, which is one of the most important hadith that al-ulama rahimahullah mentioned in regard to understanding the concept of water, which it says that al-ma'u tahurun la yunajjisuhu shay'. The water is pure and nothing can make it impure. Abu Sa'id, anybody knows his name? He's very famous with his kunya. Abu Sa'id. Yeah, al-Khudri, this is his title. Abu Sa'id, his name is Sa'd. Not many people remember that. His name is Sa'd. Sa'd, his father is Malik. Al-Khudri comes, Muhammad Sharafa, comes from Khudra, okay? Which is a neighborhood or a group in Al-Ansar. He was among the scholars of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he used to give fatwa. Not all the companions are scholars, and not all the scholars of the companions give fatwas. Pay attention. Not all the companions are scholars, and not all the scholars among the companions yuftun. ليس كل الصحابة علماء وليس كل علماء الصحابة يفتي. So he was one of few people who have the ability to give fatwa. He lived, rahimahullah wa radiyallahu an, 86 سنة. He died in the age of 86, so he lived a long life. And for him, there is about 84 hadith in al-Bukhari wa Muslim. So he among those who narrated many a hadith. This hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, water is pure and nothing can make it impure. There is also a story behind it. They came to the Prophet ﷺ, this hadith known as Hadith Bi'r Buda'a. Bi'r ish Buda'a, if you ever heard this name. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, can we make wudu' from that well, the well of Buda'a? Okay, can we make wudu' from the well? You might say, why would they ask about this? Okay, the water of the sea, we understand, because it smells different, it tastes different. But what about the water of the in the well? It should be a question. No, there is a reason. Listen. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, هي بئر تلقى فيها الحيض والنتن ولحوم الكلاب. This well, where a lot of impure things end up or thrown inside it, or goes inside it. الحيض, they mention الحيض. الحيض, which is basically the pads of the woman during their menses. They used to put pads to stop the blood. So those pads, they take it and throw it. And also that dead dogs or cats or animals or the waste, any the thing which is disgusted things. The waste, it's like a dumpster. Okay? So here you might say, Sheikh, are we hearing this correct? Are they throwing this impure things inside the well? No, a'udhu billah. No. Don't ever think that the companion would ever do that. As Al-Khattabi rahimahullah said, he said, how can, you wouldn't think of the disgusting kafir at that time will do that. The one who doesn't know halal and haram will do that. So how can you think of the best of the ummah, the sahaba, will go through the blood, the najasa, the impurity inside the well? No. What happened is, how the water goes to the well. You know, when there is rain, the rain runs through basically, huh? So the rain goes all the way to this well from the hills. In the way of that rain, when the water comes, there is dumpsters, an area where they dump the stuff. So sometimes when the rain comes, will wash with it or take with it some of these impure things. Or maybe a dead animal on the way. It will carry it and dump it in that well. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, that's very possible. Okay? So if this has happened, are we allowed to make wudu' from it? If that's happening, sometimes they notice that. Impure things inside the well ended up in the well because the rain bring it in, or it's washed in, brought by the flood, the water flooding or whatever, inside the well. So the Prophet ﷺ told them this answer, which is a beautiful answer. He said, water is pure, nothing can make it what? Impure. لا ينجسه شيء. Here, when the Prophet ﷺ said, شيء, هذه نكرة في سياق النفي. This is indefinite, while the Prophet ﷺ making a negation, nothing can make it impure. It means it doesn't matter what kind of impurity, because the impurity is two level, major and minor. Minor like the urine, major like the feces, like the blood of the menses. That's a major impurity. Okay? So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said nothing, no matter what. Type major like the blood of the pig versus just a dead animal, regular animal, a bird. But here, a pig, that's a major impurity. But still, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said nothing. So no matter whatever that najasa is, it will not make that water impure. But you cannot take this hadith without the two other hadith that we heard it, which is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning that when he mentioned the sea or the ocean, then later on you're going to see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is speaking about that the water will not be impure unless one of the three things change. Here we say the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that pure, nothing will make it impure, yes, as long as this water is huge in quantity. So if the water is huge in the quantity of it, that nothing can make it impure. Like if somebody did threw a pig's blood in the ocean, would that make it impure? No. No matter what you do in the ocean, well, not, or in the river, or in that well which is filled with water, and water keep coming to it. Okay, so nothing will make it impure. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم here telling us that the water is tahur, is purifying, and to remove that state of al-hadath al-asghar, the major and akbar. We tell you that before, so I don't need to repeat it every time. You can make wudu, you can make ghusl with it. And also removing the impurity, the physical impurity, which is a najasa, like urine, like the blood of pigs or animals, or the blood of even human, according to some scholar. That impurity that can be removed by water. Here, al-ulama rahimahullah said something worth paying attention to. Wudu can be only achieved only through water. And if you don't have it, your excuse to use what? The sand. Not other. You can't make wudu with coffee. You can't make wudu with juice. That's right? Can't make wudu with anything, with things like that. طيب. But what about impurity? هل النجاسة? Can you remove it with something other than water? The answer is yes. Anything will remove, because النجاسة is a physical entity. That physical entity disappear, there is no more najasa. That's right. The state of not having wudu, that's not tangible thing. Yani, if I look at Usama, I don't know if he has wudu or not. No, embarrassing. Okay, can you tell? I can't tell. Because it's not something physical. That's right. But impurity, something physical, you can see. You can see it. So here al-ulama said, as long as this physical impurity removed, khalas, it doesn't need water. For instance, somebody, let's say you have a basically an impurity in your carpet. the sun comes and hit that carpet, you come next day, completely disappear. You touch it, no smell, nothing. Shams jaffafata, dried it out completely. Is that spot clean? Absolutely. I put heat, I bring heater, and I completely make it disappear through heat. Just imagine, yani. Okay? Like dryer. You put it and you let it go. Also, let's say you bring that chemical. Use chemicals to remove the impurity. Like in the carpet. So many times in the carpet, you don't put water, huh? Spray. You spray certain chemicals on it and you brush it and it's clean. Would that be sufficient? Yes. So any method you use, it's acceptable. It doesn't matter has water or not. As for Sharafa's question, if the sewer water been purified and recycled, it became permissible to use or not? Yes. Because basically, they bring it back to its original state, that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Here, there is more restriction going to come to this hadith through the following one. The Prophet ﷺ said in the other hadith, Al-Ma', which is hadith Abi Umamah al-Bahili. Abu Umamah, his name is Suday ibn Ajlan al-Bahili, min qabilat Bahila. Sakana fi Misr, rahimahullah, radiyallahu. He lived in Egypt, then he moved to Syria, to Asham. And he died in Hisham 81 Hijri, or been said 86 Hijri. And he was آخر من مات من الصحابة في بلاد الشام. He is the last companions died in the land of Hisham. ما في أحد بعد. Hisham here means Palestine, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. So the آخر من مات من الصحابة في بلاد الشام رضي الله عنه رحمة. And he narrated many a hadith. That's why when he lived long, so had a lot of students. Anyway, this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, the water cannot be redundant, impure by anything except something which changes its smell, taste, and color. Or in another narration, taste, its smell, or taste, or color. So it doesn't need to have three of them. Even one of them will be sufficient. Change it to completely something different. Or the najasa, will then the smell of the najasa, the color of the najasa, the taste of the najasa will be recognized in the water. Okay? So in this case, this will make the water what? Not any more pure. This hadith you heard Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, it's weak. Because this hadith has been reported by a man by the name of Rashdin ibn Sa'd, and he is weak. He's not a strong narrator, as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioned that, and Imam al-Mundhiri mentioned that Imam Ahmad consider him weak. Abu Zur'ah also consider him weak, and he's been classified as Munkar al-Hadith by Ibn Abi Hatim, or Matruk al-Hadith by Nasa'i. So he's a very weak narrator. Not only that, the other narration of Al-Bayhaqi has another man, his name, or has a man is by the name of Baqi ibn Al-Walid, Baqiyah ibn Al-Walid, and he is Mudallis, Shadid al-Tadlis, and his also narration is not accepted. So this addition, unless its taste, its color, its smell change, this addition is not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any form of any authentic hadith. لم يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قط أنه قال هذه الجملة إلا ما تغير لونه أو طعمه أو ريحه. But the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim scholars and jurists across the board, all the madhahib, agreed on that condition. هذه الزيادة ليست من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكنها من إجماع الفقهاء والعلماء. العلماء all agreed that these are three descriptions and condition are must. And agree that it is, the meaning is correct, but we don't say that this is a statement from the Prophet ﷺ and through any authentic hadith. So here, العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى said that al-ma', if the najasa, the impurity, if it approach the water will not be impure unless a change happened to the water. Pay attention with me. Sorry, it's a little bit complicated. إِذَا وَرَدَتِ النَّجَاسَ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, if the impurity approach the water. Okay? Here al-ulama divided into two groups. Al-ulama said, if this water, large quantity, that najasa, this impurity, when it approach the water, it will not make this water impure unless as it change one of these three descriptions. Clear? Other group of ulama said no. If the quantity of water is small, any impurity approach it, it make the water not acceptable, impure, even if nothing change in it. And both have their evidence. But for those who are interested to see how the Muslim scholars think deeper, al-ulama differentiate between the najasa approaching the water and the water approaching the najasa. There's big difference. Say that again. Can anyone here figure it out in his own or her own? Al-ulama differentiate between the najasa, the impurity, approaching the water, and the water approaching the impurity. And let's be specific. Let's say a small amount of water. We heard some group scholars said, if the impurity approach a small amount of water, it will not make that water what? It will make that water impure, even if nothing changed in it. But they said not the other way around. If the water approach the impurity, it will not make the water impure. Why? Now, they said, let's assume this pot of water. Okay? You come and you put najasa in it. You put urine in it. You put a pig's blood. Let's discuss it. Okay? You put a pig's blood here. Would that make that bottle najis? Yes. Impure. But they said, if you have a spot of a blood of the pig, then you take this bottle of water or in your thobe, in your clothes, then you go outside, then you do like this, then you start pouring the water on the blood. Would the water purify the blood or not? The clothes or not? Yes, when the water touched the blood, would that make it impure? Would make the water impure? No. Because they said, if this is the case, that means every water going to touch is going to be impure, and the following water will be impure. That means we'll never be able to purify anything. That's why they differentiate between the impurity approaching the water and the water approaching the impurity. Sheikh, why are you giving me so much headache? I give you this headache because many people say, Sheikh, I go to the bathroom and I have the douche or the water. I basically turn on the water and clean myself. And sometimes I seize this water, and maybe my thigh or my behind or my, or even in the floor. Would that water became najis? We say no. Because it's something approaching, not the najasa approaching the water. See, from that we can learn many things, not only that. Question, I have a dirty cloth full of najasa. I put it in the washing machine. But the water approached the najasa, not the other way around. Is that clear? Is that clear? So here, that the water comes and rinses it. So that water is pure. After that. And that place became pure. Nobody said after you wash dirty clothes or najis clothes in your washing machine, you know what, you're not allowed to touch it, or it's going to be najis. Nobody says that. Is that clear? So here, this is something interesting the ulama rahimahumullah have mentioned. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said, let's make this simple. Let's make this what? Simple. Let's say that the water will never be najis unless one of the three qualities change. And that's what Ibn Taymiyyah supported him with. But the Hanafi, the Shafi'i, Maliki complicated it. They said no. The Hanafi, the Maliki, the Shafi'i said the water must be large quantity. If it's small quantity, will not be acceptable. How would you determine large from small? The Shafi'i, the Hanbali, used the following hadith, which is the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمَاءُ الْقُلَّتَيْنِ لَمْ يَحْمُرُ الْخَبَثِ. When the water can basically fill two pots, it will not be najis. Two pots, and I'll tell you what pots here means. The Hanafi didn't consider this hadith, they didn't like this hadith. What the Hanafi said, they said, you come to a water, if you move with your hand the water like this, you push the water, and that wave reach to the end of it, or make a circle, that water is small amount. So even if a little, if any najasa, any impurity come to it, you're not allowed to touch it, even if it, nothing change in it. But if the water is big enough that you move it, you make a wave with your hand, and that wave will not reach to the end of it, that large number. Let's say the brother was asking me, the pool. The pool. If you do like this in the pool, would that make the wave all the way to the end of the pool? Most likely what? No. Is that too difficult to say no? Depend on the hand? No, no matter what. I don't think you can. That's like be very. But go to that. Go to there, your jacuzzi. Maybe the bathtub. The bathtub. You do like this, basically the water will reach to the end of it. That's right? So they consider that small amount. Is that clear, guys? Okay. But what if it's depth? They said if you make a wave, would that wave go all the way down to the bottom of it or not? So that the point is to make sure that it is from the beginning to the end. طيب المالكية ريح روسهم وأدمغتهم. They said, you know what? It doesn't matter large or small, as long as the color, the taste, the smell of the najasa didn't change the water is pure. Bathtub or pot or ceramic pot or anything. And I'll tell you how this is so interesting. Al-Ghazali, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, who's a Shafi'i scholar, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, after he talked about how the Shafi'iyya and the details, I'm not, لن أوجع أدمغتكم, يعني, I'm not going to give you a headache with all the details. But I'll tell you what al-Ghazali said, rahimahullah. He said, after he went into this, he said, rahimallahu al-Shafi'i, I wish that he followed Malik in this and save us from all this headache. Yeah, I wish, he's not convinced with this. He said, I wish that the Shafi'i followed Malik and saved me from all this. وهذا عجيب. هذا عجيب. You ask yourself, so why Al-Ghazali just didn't follow Malik and took Malik's opinion? But he is muqallid. He is imitating to a Shafi'i. Doesn't feel he can go out circle of Imam Shafi'i to choose for himself, which is sad, يعني, for someone to see that way. Anyway, so he himself wished that. You want to know how complicated this can be among the Shafi'iyya? They said, if you have a big, huge place, like a pool, there is najasa in it. Somebody put a cup, somebody in the pool, and urinate in the pool. Okay? that will not make the pool what? Impure, because it's a huge amount of water, and it will not change the color, the taste, you know, or the smell of it. But they said, according to them, they said, somebody like, mashallah, you know, my size, go to the pool, every time I jump in the pool, what happened to the pool? Mashallah, wait, the water was started what? Getting out of the pool, that's right? I know some people share with me this feeling, okay? So the water basically go, you know, flood out. Tabi Shafi'i said, Shafi'iyya, not Shafi'i, Shafi'iyya said, that water that came out, that amount that came out, isn't that amount small? Small. So they said that amount that went out is impure, but the one inside is pure. So they said, if you take a pot and you take it from the swimming pool, that pot is small amount. So that water, you're not allowed to use it for wudu. But you only allowed to use the water directly from the pool. Too complicated. That's why. And that's just the simplest example I can give you. And if you look at Nawawi rahimahullah, when he went into that, it's really getting things so complicated. That's why Al-Ghazali said, I wish that we got out of this whole confusion and we just said, simple. If the water remain in its state, khalas, it doesn't matter, because the hadith before, hadith Bi'r Buda'a, is clear. The Prophet ﷺ said, nothing make it impure. And the hadith of the sea. And we just move on with that. And that's why the second hadith, the third hadith, it's interesting. The Prophet ﷺ said, if there is enough water to fill two pots, qilal, it's a big pot, okay? Carries no impurity. And that's how the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila said, that's how we determine what is the big pots from small pots. This hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar, you all know Abdullah ibn Umar, born in Mecca, became Muslim in Mecca and died in Mecca, radiallahu anhu, in 73 Hijri. من أوعية العلم. This hadith, al-ulama debated over the authenticity of it. Why? Because sometimes this hadith was narrated one qulla, one pot. And one time, a pot, don't think of the pot of the cooking. It's like the ceramic pot, like al-qulla زي الزير كذا في البلاد. It's like the big thing that they put water in it. And I'll tell you the size of it right now. Some narration said three. Okay, and some people said this hadith is muttarib, is confusing. Why? Because we don't know what's pot. What, there is many different size of pots. So that's why they reject, and that the Hanafi. That's why the Hanafi didn't go with that size. The Hanafi went with the hand moved, because they consider this hadith is weak. But to be honest with you, this hadith is not muttarib. And the narrations of the one and three is not authentic. This narration of two is authentic. And it is authentic. And there is no contradiction between this one and the previous one. Here, if you just borrow, I can borrow your attention for five more minutes, I'm done for tonight. This hadith, it says, if the water is filled two pots, will not carry impurity. What this implies, the hadith says, if it fills two pots, it will not carry impurity, najas. What this hadith implies, Ahmed, what do you think? What this implies? La, he said, if there is amount of water that can fill two pots, qullatain, will not carry impurity, cannot be impure. Obviously, unless that color or the taste change. But that what that implies, implies, haja ismaha مفهوم المخالفة. Have you heard of that? Implies what? That if it is less than two pots, it means it will carry impurity. I'll say that again. So if it's less than two pots, it will carry that the impurity. يعني معناه إذا كان أقل من القلتين حمل الخبث. If it's less than two, it will carry the. Ibn Taymiyyah said, no, I don't agree with that. Why? Because this is implies. But the previous hadith is explicit. The water is pure. Nothing will change it. Unless the color, the taste. This is explicit. He said, if you have two texts, if you have an implies and you have an explicit, which one you take over the other? The explicit. ماذا تأخذ؟ المنطوق الصريح ولا المفهوم؟ المنطوق, the explicit. Is that correct? يعني give you example just to make it easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة لن يغفر الله لهم. You make استغفار for them or you don't. If you make istighfar for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. Is that can be said? Okay, so 70 will not forgive them. Can we say, since he said 70, so if it's 71, maybe they will be forgiven. Or 72, maybe they will be forgiven. We said, no. That's not correct understanding. Why? Because Allah said in the other verse in Surah Al-Nisa, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqeen are in the bottom of the hellfire. There is period. There is no way for the hypocrites to be saved if they die as a hypocrite. Are you following? So here, that implies doesn't work. So that's why Ibn Taymiyyah believed this authentic, but there is no implies. But the Shafi'is, the Hanbali said, no, the implies is correct. لأن عندنا قاعدة في الأصول in أصول الفقه, which says الشرط له مفهوم. If there is a condition, that means a condition implied. For example, if I say, if you come at 5, you get $5. That means if you come before 5, you don't get the $5. That implies, that's right? That's right? Hello? Yes, obviously, because I put a condition. طيب, here, that's what led the ulama rahimahullah to say that two pots, qilal. What the size of this, according to the Hanbali and the Shafi'i, it is qilal hajar. Qilal, these pots for containing water, comes from hajar. Hajar would wear in the East province in Saudi Arabia today, in Al-Ahsa. Why we say this particular one? Because that's what was known in Medina. They never used any other containers. This is a form of the measure the water with it. In modern language, how big that is? One, the two, the one pot, it will contain 270 liters. 270 liters. In American language, 71.3 gallons of water. So if it's 2, that means 142.6 gallon of water, that will be a lot. That's no matter what you put najasa in it, it will not change it unless the water itself change. But if it's less than that amount, according to the Hanbali and the Shafi'iyya, it will be what? The 70 is for the both. The 70.3 gallon, it's for both. Qullatain together. 270 liters for both, for the two pots, not one. So don't double that. It's huge. Qulla kabira. Okay. I go with the opinion that Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah's opinion in Malik, it's very solid, very strong. That you know what, if the water is in a large or small quantity, It will not be impure unless one of its color or smell or taste change. And among the people who said that, as Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said, Aisha radiallahu anha, and Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Al-Hasan ibn Ali, Abu Huraira, Hudayfa, and many other companions. And from the successors, it's the position of Al-Hasan al-Basri, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Mujahid ibn Jabr, Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, the Grand Mufti of Medina. That's why most likely Malik said that. Sa'id ibn, ibn Abi Layla, and many other scholars have mentioned that among that position. So it's a very strong argument. So with this, we'll come to the explanation of these four ahadith. The next one's also very interesting about, you know, making wudu and ghusl in the water. You know, comes to the, can I have wudu and ghusl from water that I urinate in it, like in pools and stuff like that. We'll talk about this, inshallah, next week. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, shalom, astaghfirullah.